জোয়ার ভাগবতম ক্যান্টো ফোর চ্যাপ্টার 30 টেক্সট নম্বর 19 Those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one acts, he offers the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions. Gruheshva Vishatam Chati Pumsam Kukala Karmana Madhuvartha Yata Yamana Nabandaya Gruhamata. Please repeat. Those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Lord. Thus when one acts, he offers the results to the Supreme Lord and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions. Purpose. Generally, a person living in a family becomes overly attached to fruitive activity. In other words, he tries to enjoy the results of his activities. A devotee, however, knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme proprietor. Bhoktaram Vijnatabhasam Sarva Loka Maheswaram. Consequently, the devotee does not consider himself the proprietor of any occupation. The devotee always thinks of the Supreme Lord as the proprietor. Therefore, the results of his business are offered to the Supreme Lord. One who thus lives in the material world with his family and children never becomes affected by the contaminations of the material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Vijñārtha karmana annatra lokayam karma bandhana tadardham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. One who tries to enjoy the results of his activities becomes bound by the result. One who offers the results or profits to the Supreme Lord, however, does not become entangled. This is the secret of success. Generally, people take sannyas to become free from reactions of fruitive activity. One who does not receive the results of his actions but offers them instead to the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly remains in a liberated condition. In Bhakti Rasamrita, Rupa Goswami confirms this. Iyayasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikilasvati avastatu jivan mukta savuchate. If one engages himself in the service of the Lord through his life, wealth, words, intelligence and everything he possesses, he will always be liberated in any condition. Such a person is called Jivan Mukta. One who is liberated during this lifetime, devoid of Krishna consciousness, those who engage in material activities simply become more entangled in material bondage. They have to suffer and enjoy the actions and reactions of all activity. This Krishna conscious movement is therefore the greatest benediction to humanity because it keeps one always engaged in Krishna's service. The devotees think of Krishna, act for Krishna, eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, and work for Krishna. Because everything is engaged in the service of Krishna. A total life in Krishna consciousness saves one from material contamination. As stated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Krishna bhajana yaha hai anukula, vishaya bali tyage taha hai bhula. If one is so expert that he can engage everything or doubtful everything in the service of the Lord, to give up the material world would be a great blunder. One should learn how to doubtful everything in the service of the Lord. But everything is connected to Krishna. That is the real purpose of life and secret of success. As reiterated later in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tasmad Asakta Satatam Karyam Karma Samachara Asakta Yacharan Karma Paramapnati Purusha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. The third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita specifically considers material activities for the purpose of sense gratification, material activities for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. The conclusion is that these are not one and the same. Material activities for sense gratification are the cause of material bondage, whereas the very same activities for the satisfaction of the Krishna are the cause of liberation. How the same activities can be cause of bondage and liberation can be explained as follows. One may get indigestion due to eating too many milk preparations, condensed milk, sweet rice and so on. But even though there is indigestion or diarrhea, another milk preparation, yogurt mixed with black pepper and salt, will immediately cure these maladies. In other words, one milk preparation can cause indigestion and diarrhea, another milk preparation can cure them. If one is blessed in the material opulence due to special mercy of the Supreme Lord, he should not consider that opulence a cause for bondage. When a mature devotee is blessed with material opulence, he does not become affected adversely. For he knows how to use material opulence in the service of the Lord. There are many such examples in the history of the world. There were kings like Prithu Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Dhruva, Vaivasvata Manu, and Maharaj Ikshvaku. All of these were great kings and were especially favored by the Supreme Lord. If a devotee is not mature, the Supreme Lord will take away all his opulence. This principle is stated by the Supreme Lord, Yashyaham Anugrunami Arishya Taddanam Sanai. My first mercy shown to my devotee is to take away all his material opulence. Material opulence detrimental to devotional service is taken away by the Supreme Lord. So the person who is mature in devotional service is given all material facilities. Om Ajnana Tumirandasya Jnananjana Talakaya Chakshurumiritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stabitam Jena Bhutale जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे राम So what is stated here is, it is not what you are doing. It is not in which ashram you are in, but in what consciousness you are working. So this is what is told to the devotees. Devotees, they don't see this is brahmachari, this is grihastha. But one who is doing activities for the satisfaction of the Supreme, people cannot estimate who is doing for what. Just like a doctor can be recognized by another doctor, and similarly, a devotee can be recognized by another devotee. A karmi cannot understand a devotee properly. Atmavat manyate jagat. Generally, we all see things from our mental state. Atmavat manyate jagat. According to our nature, we see others. So to see others what they are, one has to be liberated, or one should be neutral, or one should be a devotee. A devotee can understand who is doing what. As long as we are in the influence of modes of material nature, we cannot judge others properly. Like wearing colored glasses. That's why we should thoroughly understand how to do activities in this world. Generally, anyone who is born into this world, if he is not educated about this spiritual science or devotional service, you watch the people of the world, everybody is busy doing activities, and what is their consciousness? The consciousness is, I am the proprietor and I am the enjoyer. Otherwise, one cannot have motivation to work, impetus for work, unless you become the enjoyer or proprietor. People don't work. So this is called material consciousness. am the lord and owner, and I am the enjoyer. People sometimes, they live a very austere, simple life. All these very, very big people, they live a very disciplined life. They are very expert, making appointments, working very nicely. And they want to become owners. They want to become bigger and bigger. So what is the result? They are attached. They are entangled. And they will be moved by the profit and loss. Yesterday I was reading an article that how to recognize a liberated person. The many symptoms are there, but how to recognize a liberated person? In that article, one of the main things is that a liberated person can be recognized, is not affected by the gain and loss. If you become elated when you are successful, and you become depressed, discouraged when you are unsuccessful or when you are failure, that means you are attached to the results, that means you are attached to the work, and you want to be the enjoyer. That happened or not happened, that happened, you become very excited, and that has not happened, you become morose, you become upset. I worked so hard, but the result was not there. On the other hand, a liberated person he knows that he has to work not for his satisfaction, he has to work for the satisfaction of the Lord. And he knows that the results are awarded by the Lord. That's what Bhagavad Gita also says in the second chapter, text number 47. Karmanya vadhikarasya mahafaleshu kadachana mahakarma phala yeturgur mate sangosta karmanya. Karmanya vadhikarasya. So, all of us have right to work, because we are all made to work, either for Krishna or for yourself or for extended, like people work for the country. It's not that they are working for Pakistan or they are working for Burma. They are, because these are my countrymen. This is my country. So although he is not working for himself, but he has assumed that his countrymen are his people, so he wants to work for them. So this is also called extended sense gratification. Like in a family, the family head lives a very austere life, or he works very hard and brings the fruits When the children enjoy them nicely, he becomes happy. So that is not some selfless work. He is not giving the fruits to anybody. He is just giving to his children. No? My children. My relatives. My countrymen. So this is called that my is there. So this is also called extended sense gratification, because you identified with them, and when they enjoy, you become happy. But that is also in bodily concept of life only. Are you attached personally? So without properly understanding Krishna consciousness, so there is no possibility of liberation without approaching the spiritual master and learn the science of Krishna consciousness and learn the art of working. So work one has to, but in what consciousness? Just like the example can be given, a owner and a manager. A owner and manager both manage, but the manager will not think, I am the owner. The manager is also handling everything. He is taking the money, signing the checks, and he is spending the money. But in the end, he will only take his salary. He is not affected by the gain or loss, because his share is only the salary. He knows that I am working for my owner. Although he is playing the role of owner, but he knows that I am not the owner. Like a owner and a custodian. A owner and a custodian also. So, like the owner, he is going to Bombay and he will leave the custodian, the servant, somebody to look after the house. So he has the keys and he is in the possession of the house and he is doing everything, but he doesn't have that owner consciousness. At the same time, he is taking care of everything. So we are supposed to know who is the owner and enjoyer of everything we are doing in this world. Without education we don't know that we are not the owner, we are not the enjoyer. If you try to become owner, if you try to become enjoyer, you will not be happy. What happens if you try to become the owner? Simply you have to take birth again. Because you have claimed what belongs to Krishna. So when you die, you think this is my property and you die. You are attached, so you come back. So if you enjoy, what happens? If you become owner, you have to take birth here in this world, and you have to continue your struggle, suffering in this world. If you try to become owner, then if you become enjoyer, then people become envious about you, and you become entangled. If you try to enjoy, you are entangled in this body. So the mentality of ownership and enjoyership, that has to be corrected. So this is called education. We are all in a wrong understanding. That's why we are not happy, we are not liberated, and we have problem after the problem. We take birth in this world with empty hands, and we die and we go empty hand. Is that right? Everyone who has taken birth, you have taken birth in a very rich family, so already riches are there. He did not bring anything with him. That means you are given the riches. It's not that you are a rich man. Nobody is born with riches. Everyone born alike, whether he is a king, whether he is a poor man, everybody, they are born in the same way. Everyone is born naked with empty hands. And we identify with the family, with the riches. I am a rich man. You are given the riches, but you are not a rich man. The riches can be taken away. We see in this world, things are always not steady. A rich man can become a poor man. A poor man can become a rich man. Ultimately, when death comes, everybody becomes equal. When death comes, the rich man also goes to the same burial ground. And a poor man also goes to the graveyard, burial ground. And none of them can claim that they won anything. So it is not difficult to understand that we are not the owner. So who is the owner? There are many philosophies. People say whoever is working on the land is the owner. Or the state is the owner. Or one who could purchase the land, he can become the owner. That's what we see. We buy land and we become the owner. Or somebody is working on the land for 20 years, 30 years, and he becomes the owner, and he will not vacate. Or sometimes the state will claim everything because they have the power. And they say people can work and take their share. But the land belongs to the government or the state. But what is this government again? Government is a bunch of people and they control. When you say something belongs to government, that is the, whoever is the government people, they stay for some time. Like now, the Congress government is there, the BJP government will be there, or this thing. And then when they go, that means they are not real owners. Again, they are temporary owner or custodian, you can say. Temporary owner. Just like we rent a home. You pay every month rent, 5,000, 10,000 rupees, and you take possession of the house and you enjoy the facilities in the house. As long as you pay the rent, you are a temporary owner and he can ask you to vacate, the owner can ask you to vacate, and you have to go. So we are all like occupants or tenants. We are given this body. As long as we are allowed to stay, you don't have control. Tomorrow we will be kicked out. We will ask you to leave this body. So, what to speak of the house and property? We cannot claim this body also, my body. This body is rented to us. And then after some time, we will be asked to vacate, so where to go. So why people are not happy? Because they are enjoying something which doesn't belong to them. Like if you try to enjoy something which belongs to other person, we come under the category of thief. Is that right? If you enjoy what belongs to somebody, so you become a thief. And a thief can never be without anxiety. Why we all have anxiety and worry? Because we are all thieves, according to Isopanishad, according to Bhagavad Gita. Actually, literally, the word thief is used in Bhagavad Gita. Devan bhava yatanana, te deva bhava yatya. Istan bhagan uva deva, dasyante yagya bhavita. Tairdatta na pradayaga, yobhunte stena yavasa. Yobhunte stena, stena means thief. So there Krishna is saying in the fifth chapter, Istan bhagan uva deva. Everything going on in this world is by the arrangement of the Lord, by the arrangement of the agents of the Lord. We have not made this body and we have no control over this body. This body is under the direction of Brahmaji. This body is created and under the direction of the material laws, the laws of nature, this body will be destroyed. So we are all in ignorance. In ignorance, like there is a conversation Bhagavatam, the story of liberation of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. There, Prabhupada raises the question, this body belongs to whom? This body belongs to the father and mother, or the body belongs to material nature, or body belongs to someone who maintains this body. So for example, you are staying here and you are being maintained. So naturally, it is an obligation, because I am given shelter here, I am maintained here, I have to work for the, so wherever you are staying. When you are staying with your parents, when you are staying with the institution, so it's like this can be debated, the body belongs to the Lord who created the, so the point is, everything belongs to Isa Vasham Idam Sarvam. Everything in this material world, we belong to Krishna, our body belongs to Krishna because it is given by, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Our body is provided by Krishna, it belongs to Him. So this is called Bhagavad Dharma. All the suffering can be traced to ignorance, ajnana. An enlightened man is supposed to be happy always. But one who is asakta, one who is attached, is always in anxiety and worry. Just like the owner has anxiety, whether I will get profit or I will get loss. But the servant has no anxiety. I have to just do my duties and I take my salary. Whereas the owner has all the problems. He is in anxiety, he is in worry, he is excited. But the servant is simply, he is not confused in all these ways. He just works, in the end he will get his salary. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is the proprietor, so nobody knows. People don't know who is the owner. People don't know that they are not the enjoyer. When you are servants of God, you cannot, or if you are a servant, you can take worldly example also. If you are a servant, everything you have to see what the master likes. First you have to give it to the master, and master is the owner, master is the enjoyer, then whatever is useless, we cannot compete with the master. So in the same way, Krishna is the, or the God is the proprietor and enjoyer. Because we don't see Krishna in this world, and we don't know how to make Krishna happy, and that is all education from the scriptures. What is the scriptures? This is real education. They are teaching you who God is and how Krishna is the owner and how you have to work for the satisfaction of Krishna. We have to work for the satisfaction of Krishna. So here again, take the example of father and two sons. One son is belligerent, or one son is he disagrees with the father, and one son he agrees with the father. One who agrees with the father is still enjoying everything that belongs to the father, and father is also happy and you are also enjoying because you are in right consciousness. Everything belongs to my father, and according to his direction I should work and enjoy with permission. With permission you enjoy, then you are also enjoying, but you are the secondary enjoyer. You have not ignored your father, and with his permission and accepting him and his advice, the other son is fighting with the father and he is trying to enjoy. And the father can deassociate with him, dissociate with him. You may get out of here. So similarly, Prabhupada writes, because this world being the property of God, and we being the children of God, we all have the right to enjoy the father's property. Generally, law of inheritance, you can enjoy the father's property, provided you recognize the father, you become obedient to the father. So that way, this is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we don't enjoy anything, but we enjoy in the way Krishna instructs us. Like devotees also, they live in homes, they have properties, and they eat, they have good facilities. You may say, what is the difference? The devotees also have properties, devotees also have good facilities, they are also enjoying. And others, and you are saying, they are wrong and you are correct. Because by activities we are doing the same thing. But devotees are in Krishna consciousness. Anything they are doing, they recognize Krishna, they thank Krishna, they follow the instructions of Krishna, and they are not attached. They are attached to Krishna's service. Like we take nice prasadam, But we don't take it before offering to Krishna. Or we don't take it more than necessary. We don't try to be possessive, or you don't try to enjoy more than your quota, and you are not attached. The result is, at the time of death, what happens to a non-devotee and a devotee? A non-devotee, because he is in wrong consciousness, and he will have to take birth, he will have to suffer. And a Krishna devotee, and he will just easily relinquish, because he is already prepared. He is not in the ownership mental. When he is going, he says Hare Krishna, and he will go. And the other person, non-devotee, whom I have to give my property, what happens to my property? So, and he doesn't have any self-realization, because he's in bodily concept. So his life becomes a big mess. His life is in a mess. Where a devotee is prepared. He is prepared, you know. But Krishna is asking me to go next. I am ready to go. So here, Prabhupada is talking about this sloka, that if Krishna wants you to become a grihastha, you will become a grihastha. If Krishna wants you to live in riches, you will live in riches. And Krishna, if he wants you to live in poverty, you will live in poverty. You have no attachment to anything. That's the devotees. Devotees are not attached to simple conditions or very luxury conditions. Devotees sometimes live and eat in a very simple place, and sometimes by Krishna's arrangement, devotees have very comforts and luxuries. But devotees are attached to Krishna. They are not in the mood of proprietorship or enjoyership. So, how to recognize a devotee? A devotee is consciousness. He never thinks that I am the owner. And he never thinks that I am the enjoyer. Whenever something comes, Prabhupada is giving the example. Like even Chaitanya Charitamrita, King Pratapradra was there. He's a king. He was so Krishna conscious, he was giving instructions to his men. Whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, whatever their needs are, immediately you make arrangement for that. And he himself wants to serve and glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Barsana, there is a palace. It is called Jaipuria Palace. People have gone there. It was built by a Jaipur king. He is a great devotee. So he said, I will build a big palace, but I will not sit on the throne. The throne is reserved for Radha and Krishna, and I will take a place That means the generally the king takes the top place, the king of the, but this Jaipur king, being a great devotee of Krishna, he built the whole palace. It is still there. The two palaces. One is the Bhanugarh, Rishabhan Maharaj, Radharani's place. And then Jaipur king, he built another palace. And then Radharani came in his dream and said, I cannot move from this place to your palace, so you can have our deity and you rule the kingdom. And he was ruling the kingdom, accepting Radha Krishna, Yugal Sarkar. So this is actually the right consciousness. Civilization means accept that Krishna is the owner and Krishna is the enjoyer. That is called civilized human life. And anything less than that, whether that is democracy or that is communism or socialism, everything is simply incorrect, because they have not accepted the real one, God. As Prabhupada said, all the problems of the world can be solved by Krishna consciousness. Any problem of the world can be solved by Krishna, just like there are certain wealthy countries, America, places. But because they are not Krishna conscious, they are not giving their wealth to poor countries, thinking that they are the owners. The result is there is disparity between rich and the poor, and they are over enjoying having their problems, and these people are undernourished and they have their problems. But if there is Krishna consciousness, similarly, say India has more people, America has less people, so the Indians can go there and work, because if you accept that everything belongs to Krishna, then you can stop the wars, you can stop mismanagement, and people can come out of false enjoyment. What is the enjoyment of people? We are meant for spiritual enjoyment, which comes in Krishna consciousness. But because people are not Krishna conscious, now they have to go to club, they have to go to brothel, they have to go to hotel, and they have to do some illicit activities. The result is that their life is a mess. So, Krishna consciousness is the solution for all the imbalances, mismanagement, and suffering. As long as we don't give up the proprietor mentality, we will be punished by material nature. Durga Devi will punish us, because we are trying to possess and enjoy what belongs to Krishna. So we will be punished by material nature. So the point is, it is the consciousness. It is not giving up things, but it is giving up the mentality of proprietorship. Lastly, Prabhupada gives a good example, like if somebody renounces what he has to renounce. He did not bring anything. And suppose I have some 10 crores and I renounce. So in the beginning, these 10 crores, they don't belong to me. And I am thinking this is my 10 crores, and now I am saying I renounce. So this is called false renunciation. On the other hand, a Krishna conscious person, he may be having 10 crores and he may not renounce, but he is utilizing these 10 crores in the service of Krishna. It looks like he is sitting with 10 crores, but he is nicely using it for Krishna's service. So for an outsider, it looks like that fellow has renounced. That is called false renunciation. Whereas this man, this belongs to Krishna, and I should carefully utilize everything in Krishna's service. So for the world, it looks like that fellow is a renounced person, and this devotee looks like he is enjoying life. But people who have knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and scriptures, they know that actually he is serving Krishna nicely. If you give up what belongs to Krishna, somebody else will come and enjoy. So I give up my 10 crores. Sometimes people come, Swamiji, I left everything to my wife and children and I come to join the ashram. So what belongs to Krishna, you gave it to your wife and children. That means you have done a wrong thing. So I cannot take his things and give you. I have to give his things back to him. Like his things I may not enjoy, but I take his things and give you. Still, I will be guilty because I have no right to give his things. So, that way Krishna consciousness, it is easy to understand and also very difficult to understand. It is easy to understand when you approach a spiritual master and understand what is what about the world, then it is easy. Except for devotees, it is natural, immediately. Oh, one day I have to die, it belongs to Krishna. One day I have to die and I am a limited person, so I cannot be enjoying. I may have crores of money, that doesn't mean that I can enjoy anything I like. By material loss of nature, you can only eat so much. Then what will you do with the rest of your wealth? So Krishna can enjoy any amount, and Krishna is original owner of everything. So many kings have come and left. Who has taken anything with them? Ultimately, we go, but things remain here only. So who is the owner? God is the owner. Because people cannot see God. They are puzzled. They cannot see God, so they think, how God can be the owner? But you can see the God, provided you follow the process. Krishna is, what is Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is telling about himself, and Krishna is telling the way, yoga path. Krishna is saying, you do like this, you do like this, and you will come back to me. You can talk to me. You can come back to me, you can talk to me. So God is a supreme person supreme proprietor and enjoyer. We are custodians and we are secondary enjoyers. This is actually the right consciousness. So it is not question of becoming a grihastha or a sannyasi, or it is not a question of poor or rich, but one who understands that God is the, Krishna is the proprietor and enjoyer. So this is what the sloka is saying, that until we develop this, we have to practice. First we have to understand the philosophy, and then we should practice, just like Krishna devotees, how we are trained in ISKCON to keep Krishna in the center, and then do everything for him. That's why devotees, they are not happy or unhappy, they are not attached or detached. Devotees are attached to Krishna. That's why a devotee is supposed to be always satisfied. He's a devotee because you are on a spiritual platform. In material platform, you lose things, you gain things. But if you are a Krishna devotee, there is nothing to lose or gain. You can always keep Krishna with you by remembering. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.